نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى and he's the only one worthy of praise I thank him, I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness I believe in him and I trust him And I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passion. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. I greet you all through the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And today, which is Tuesday, the 4th of August 1998, which is equivalent to the 12th of Rabi' al-Akhir for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this will be our third class after the first 20. That means the 23rd class. And inshallah, today we have a new chapter still under the same subject of As-Salah. And for those who are using the book Bulugh al-Maram, the attainment of the objective, we're dealing today with chapter number 8. And this will be page number 120. Our class concerning today, inshallah, sujood as-sahw. We are dealing today with sujood al-sahw. Sujood is a plural for the term sajda. The sujood is more than one sajda. And there is a different type of sujood. And sujood is the action, the verb, which means to prostrate. That means you put your forehead, your nose, your bum, your knees, and your toes on the ground for the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a part of worship. the sujood which we do during the salah is part of the prayer itself. When you make salat al-zuhr, salat al-asr, end of the salah, each raka'ah has two sajda. Okay? And there is sujood which we do it out of the salah. And this is what we're supposed to be talking about today, the different types of sujood, additional to the sujood in the salah, in the prayer itself. Some of this sujood is the sujood of tilawa, prostration for recitation of the Quran. It's called sujood at-tilawa. That when you make tilawa, recitation of the Quran, in certain sections, certain times, you're going to prostrate. This is called sujood at-tilawa. And there is sujood for sahu. Sahu means to forget. To forget and to make a correction as a result of your forgetfulness. You're going to have to prostrate. And there is a sujood that the Muslim will perform it to show his gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we call this sujood al-shukr, prostration of being grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is kind of sujood. And this is what we about to discuss today, inshallah. The chapter say sujood as-sahu and other matters. So specifically it's talking about the prostration for being forgetting due out of forgetfulness in the salah. And when he talks about others, he's talking about the sujood as to prostrate as a result of reciting certain verses in the Quran, and others which is the sujood if you do it as a result of receiving good news or that show your thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a receiving a new blessings and a new gift. First of all, we're going to be dealing with sujood al-sahu. And in this chapter number 8, page number 120, we found the first hadith. Which was reported by Abdullah ibn Buhayna radiallahu ta'ala anhu. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى بهم الظهر فقام في الركعتين الأوليين ولم يجلس فقام الناس معه حتى إذا قضى الصلاة وانتظر الناس تسليمه كبر وهو جالس وسجد سجدتين قبل أن يسلم ثم سلم. أخرجه السبعة وهذا لفظ البخاري. وفي رواية لمسلم يكبر في كل سجدة وهو جالس وسجد الناس معه مكان ما نسي من الجلوس. This حديث Hadith number 262. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, and Muslim, and Abu Dawood, wa Tirmizi, wa Nisa'i. And this version that we're dealing with is the version of Imam al-Bukhari. The second version right away after it, that is the version of Imam Muslim. يُكَبِّرُ فِي كُلِّ سَجْدَةٍ وَهُوَ جَالِسٌ وَيَسْجُدُ النَّاسُ مَعَهُ مَكَانَ مَا نَسِيَ مِنَ الْجُلُوسِ. This is the way how it came in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayh. Narrated Abdullah ibn Buhayna that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led them in the Zuhr prayer, and when he stood up at the end of the first two, raka'at and did not sit, the people stood up with him. When he finished the salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people expected him to do the taslim. He uttered the takbir while sitting and made two prostrations before saying the taslim. Assalamu alaykum. Then he uttered the taslim salutation. Reported by Sab'a, and this is the Bukhari version and the version of Muslim, which is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uttered the takbir for each prostration while sitting, and the people prostrated with him to make up for the sitting. For the sitting, he has forgotten. So this hadith is telling us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he led the Sahaba in Salatul Zuhr, and instead of sitting after the second rak'ah to make the tashahud, he stood up. He didn't sit. He forgot. And he stood up straight. And the Sahaba also stood up following the Imam. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished his salah, and he was about to make the taslim, and everybody was waiting for him to end the salah by saying assalamu alaikum, he didn't do so. But he went to perform two sajda, two prostrations, while he was sitting, saying Allahu Akbar for each one, and he prostrated. Allahu Akbar, he said. Allahu Akbar, prostrate. Allahu Akbar, he said. And after this, he made the taslim and he aimed his salah. So this hadith shows us the correction. First, that the Imam forgot, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here the duties of the followers to follow the Imam in the salah, even if he make a mistake. And we going to understand from other ahadith that the duty of the followers to remind the Imam by saying Subhanallah. And if the women are present in the Salah, they will remind the Imam by clapping. Okay? By clapping, and this will show the Imam that he made a mistake. But in this kind of mistake, when you forget the first tashahud, you don't sit. Okay? Even if somebody remind you, if you closer to the standing up position, you should go ahead and go to the third rak'ah. If you closer to the ground and somebody remind you, you sit. Okay? Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood up straight after the second rak'ah. He didn't sit for making the tashahud. And the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they follow him. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said for the last tashahud, they were expecting him to finish the salah by saying assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. But he didn't do so. He went to perform what? Two additional prostration. And this is what we talking about today. This was the correction for whatever mistake that he did. And after this, he finishes the salah. The next hadith, which hadith is 263, page 121 from the book Bulugh al-Maram. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إحدى صلاتي العشي ركعتين، ثم سلم، ثم قام إلى خشبة في مقدم المسجد فوضع يده عليها، وفي القوم أبو بكر وعمر، فهاب أن يكلماه، وخرج سرعان الناس فقالوا أقصرت الصلاة، ورجل يدعوه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم باليدين، فقال يا رسول الله أنسيت أم قصرت الصلاة؟ فقال لم أنس ولم تقصر. قال بلى قد نسيت. فصلى ركعتين ثم سلم ثم كبر فسجد مثل سجوده أو أطول، ثم رفع رأسه فكبر، ثم وضع رأسه فكبر فسجد مثل سجوده أو أطول، ثم رفع رأسه وكبر. متفق عليه. This hadith was recorded by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. Hadith number 263. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as the collection of Imam Muslim and others. And the hadith is authentic, recorded by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, radiallahu anhu. And that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one of the two salah of Al-Ashi, which is Salat al-Zuhr, or Salat al-Asr, which is four rak'at, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of praying four rak'at, he did what? He prayed two rak'at. And he finished the Salah with the tasleem. And after this he stood up, and he went putting his hand in a wood, piece of wood or a piece of tree that was there in the masjid, okay? Like somebody was thinking about something or he worry about something and he's standing there. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq as well as Umar, may Allah be pleased with them all, they was there and they will out of respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they afraid to discuss what happened with him. And people in general, the general body of the believers, they ran out of the musalla in rush, okay? And among the people was a man whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him Dhul Yadain, okay? One of his two hands or his hand used to be long. So they call him Dhul Yadain, the man with the two hands, okay? He said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, did the khubbat or the salah been shortened? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, I didn't khubbat and the salah is not been shortened. So he said, indeed you forgot. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went back to the position of the salah and he laid whosoever there in two rak'at. And after this he finished the salah with tasleem. And after this he said, Allahu Akbar, and he made sujood. Similar to the sujood that he did before in the salah or longer. And after this he rose up from the prostration and he said, Allahu Akbar, and he said. And after this he said, Allahu Akbar, and he prostrated again. And similar to the sujood before or longer. And after this he said, Allahu Akbar, and he sat again. This hadith is muttafaq alayh. It's the highest degree of authenticity. Okay? So this hadith, it shows us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how the sahaba in general, that they respect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sometimes they stay away from debating or discussing certain issues with him out of respect. Okay. Secondly, that this was time of abrogation and changing and things like this, because it's still time of wahi, time of revelation. As long as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still alive, things can be changed. Okay, from two rak'at to four rak'at, or when you travel, the salah will be shortened, or maybe things will be abrogated. Also, this shows us that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a human being, and the Sahaba understood this. And a part of the nature of a human being to forget. Okay? So this man, he said there is two possibilities. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgot, or there is command from Allah that the law been shortened. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, no, I didn't forget, so man, now he has no other choice except to tell him, O Prophet of Allah, you forgot. Now, this discussion between the Imam and the follower out of the Salah, it didn't spoil the Salah because with a discussion for the benefit of the Salah. Okay? Although that some people already even walk and Dhul Yadayn is talking with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but this kind of talking in the Salah or out of the Salah, it didn't spoil the Salah because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complete the Salah. He didn't make the Salah over. He didn't make the Salah over because he talked. Okay? Although the talking was not any kind of recitation of the Quran. He said that the Salah is shortened. So it was not only discussion between the Prophet and Dhul Yadayn only, was even discussion between the rest of the Sahaba. Okay? So the rest of the Sahaba, they waved or they knocked their heads up and down, that mean yes. Okay? And in another narration, which also in the Bukhari and Muslim, came that they said, that means they spoke, they talked, they said, yes, that he, yes, that you did not make four rak'at. In another narration, وَلَمْ يَسْجُدْ حَتَّى يَقْفَنَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى ذَلِكَ. That means that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not prostrate till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him certain about that he has forgot. Okay? So all this narration came with different addition, with a different information, but basically all of them shows that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forgotten in his salah being part of a human being, and this alhamdulillah was a way and need for us to learn how a person should correct his mistake when he make a mistake or forgot in the salah. Hadith number 264, page 123, وعن عمران وعن عمران بن حصين وعن عمران بن حصين رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى بهم فتهى فسجد سجدتين ثم تشهد ثم سلم. رواه أبو داود والترمذي وحسنه والحاكم وصححه. This hadith, we are not going to give any explanation over it because the hadith is shadh. Okay? This hadith is shadh. That means it's part of the categories of weak hadith. Okay? And since the hadith has this weakness in it, we don't need to really deal with it. Period or go in any explanation. The next hadith, hadith number 265, عن أبي سعيد القدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا شك أحدكم في صلاته فلن يدري كم صلى أثلاثا أم أربعة فليطرح الشك وليبني على ما استيقن ثم يسجد سجدتين قبل أن يسلم فإن كان صلى خمسة شفعنا له صلاته
وإن صلى تماما كانت ترغيما للشيطان. رواه مسلم. This hadith, which is the collection of Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi, is chapter of the Masajid, the mosque, reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying what the meaning is. When one of you is in doubt about his prayer and does not know how many he has performed, how many raka'at, 3 or 4, he should cast aside his doubt and base his prayer on what he is sure of. Then perform 2 prostrations before taslim. If he has prayed 5 raka'ah, they will. They mean a pronoun referring to the 2 sajda. Will make his salah an even number for him. And if he has prayed exactly 4 they, that means the 2 sajda of sahu, will be humiliation for the devil. Okay. So what we learn from this hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us that when a person making his salah and this condition overcome him, he started out and did a pray 3 raka'at or 4 raka'at and keep debating it. Okay? He's, as example, making salat al-zuhr. And now he came in a condition, he doesn't know if it's 3 or 4. Or maybe he doesn't know if it's 2 raka'at or 3 raka'at. Or he doesn't know if this is the first raka'at or the second raka'at. Okay? The doubt can take place at any time during the salah. So now he has to try to think. Exercise your ability and try to think. Like, as example, what surah did I read in the first raka'ah? Did I pray 1 raka'ah or 2 raka'ah? In the first raka'ah, I maybe said this dua. In the second raka'ah, I didn't say any. So somehow he tried to see if he can come to some kind of conclusion to see how many he prayed. So if he can come to this conclusion, now he performed his salah, regular prayer. So now I come to, yes, I said ikhlas in the first raka'ah and nas in the second raka'ah, and after this made a tashahud. So this is the third raka'ah now. Okay? So I am now in the third raka'ah. So what he's supposed to do? Now he will go and make 1 raka'ah more, and this is 4 raka'ah. But if he kept debating this issue and he could not reach any kind of realization or come to a conclusion, is it the third raka'ah or the second raka'ah, now he will count on the smallest number. Now I don't know if it's the second or the third. And I could not reach to decision. So I count this to be what? The second. So that means consider it less. And go and finish your salah and make 2 sajdas after this. So that means the possibility that he has made 5 raka'at, or that he made 4 raka'at. Okay? If he made 4 raka'at, so your salah, alhamdulillah, as it's supposed to be. Okay? And if you pray 5 raka'at, so your sujood of sahu will come to make this 5, make it like 6 raka'at. And now you even your salah, and your salah still perfect is good. So if you made it 4, okay, you made it 4, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said if your salah is completed, that you made the correct number, this will be a humiliation for the shaitan, that he didn't get a chance to play with your mind. But in the other case, you made 5 raka'at, so now you made 2 sajda, and this will be considered your salah as if they are 6 rak'ah. You didn't lose anything. You even the numbers of the prayer, and you still your salah acceptable. And in this case, what you have to do is that ثم يسجد سجدتين قبل أن يسلم. Let him prostrate 2 prostrations before he make his tasleem. So now I am in the my last rak'ah. Okay, and I sat down for the tashahud and say attahiyyatu lillah wa salawat wa tayyibat. And after this I finish. Okay, now instead of saying assalamu alaikum, I will say Allahu Akbar and go back again and make a prostration. Allahu Akbar, and I say, and Allahu Akbar, and prostrate again. Allahu Akbar, and I sat again. And after this, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Understood? Okay. Hadith number 266 in page 124. Narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. Qala qalla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Falamma sallama, qila lahu ya Rasulullah, ahadatha fi salati shayt? قال وماذا؟ قالوا صليت كذا وكذا. قال فثنى رجليه واستقبل القبلة فسجد سجدتين ثم سلم ثم أقبل علينا بوجهه فقال إنه لو حدث في الصلاة شيء أنبأتكم به ولكن إنما أنا بشر مثلكم أنسى كما تنسون فإذا نسيت فذكروني وإذا شك أحدكم في صلاته فليتحرى الصواب فليتم عليه ثم ليسجد سجدتين. This hadith, which is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليهما, narrated by Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم led the Sahaba in the Salah. And after he made tasleem, he finished his salah, he tasleemed out. They told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, did something happen in the salah? He said, why? What's this? They told him, you prayed such and such. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he folded his legs, that means he went back again to the position of the Salah, and he faced the Qibla, and he prostrated 2 Sajda, and after this he made Taslim, Taslim out, and after this he came and he admonished the Sahaba, he talked to them, he told them, if something happened, that means any change, any abrogation, any shorten having to the prayer, I will inform you. I'm not going to wait. But I am a human being like you. And I will forget like you forget. Okay? Being a human being, I'll forget. So when I forget, remind me. Okay? This is the job of the community. To remind the imam. Is not anybody perfect. So the job of the believer to remind the imam when he make a mistake and something that you know, this is halal, this is haram, this is right, this is wrong, you don't wait, but you remind. So he said, so when I forget, remind me. So if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself, he say, I am a human being who forget. So that means any one of us, he will forget. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling the Sahaba to remind him. So who is me or you not to be reminded? Okay? So all of us need correction and all of us need reminder. And it is the job of the rest of the community to remind the leader or the imam when he make a mistake. Because we knew was the limits of Allah, what's right, what's wrong. So when the imam make a mistake, that we need to remind him. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam He informed it. That when one of you is in doubt concerning his salah, let him try to make his mind, let him try to remember to see which one is right to build on it. And he will build over what he is more sure, and after this he will prostrate to sajda. Understood? وفي رواية للبخاري فليتم ثم يسلم ثم يسجد. In the narration of al-Bukhari, let him complete the prayer. Make the addition, make the correction, whatever missing, okay? First complete the prayer. After this, make taslim, taslim out. Finish the salah. After this, prostrate. Okay? And narration of Abi Dawood and Ahmad and al-Nisa'i. The hadith which is reported by Abdullah ibn Ja'far, marfu'an, man shakka fi salati, falyasjud sajdatayn ba'da ma yusallim. The rest of the narration which came with the version of Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Nisa'i. And Ibn Khuzaymah, Imam Sheikh Al-Albani, Hafizahullah, said this narration is weak. So it's sufficient for us that the first narration which number 266 and the one in Bukhari and Muslim. So the one is say in the end of the page number 124, it says in the version of Ahmad, Abu Dawood and An-Nisa'i by Abdullah ibn Ja'far, whosoever doubts about his salah prayer should make two prostration after the taslim. Okay, this Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani said this addition is weak. Hadith number 267, page 125, عن المغيرة ابن شعبة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا شك أحدكم فقام في الركعتين فاستتم قائما فليمضي ولا يعود وليسجد سجدتين فإن لم يستتم قائما فليجلس ولا سهو عليه رواه أبو داود وابن ماجه والدارقطني واللفظ له بسند ضعيف. This narration which number 267, no any explanation. The only comment about it that this hadith is weak, and this is the reason that I'm not dealing with it. Okay? But this was according the takhrij that he found in Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah and Dharqutni. Okay? But Sheikh Al-Albani rahmatullahi alayhi, he said in the Silsilat al-Ahadith al-Sahiha that this hadith is authentic, which is hadith number 267. Okay, he found in the book, it's saying, reported by Abu Dawood, page 125, in the end of the hadith 267, reported by Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, and Ad-Dharqutni, whose version is with a weak sanad. Okay? But as I said, this hadith, as I explained before, in the beginning of the class, If a person in Salat al-Maghrib, as example, or Salat al-Zuhr, or al-Asr, and he forgot to make the first tashahud, to sit after the second raka'ah, to sit at tahiyyatu lillah, wa salawat wa tayyibat. So if you lift your hands and your knees lift to the floor already, and you closer to the standing up position, don't go back again. Okay? But if you closer to the floor, sit, if you've been reminded, and make the tashahud, and there is no need for prostration. Okay? So if you did not make the second tashahud, and you already closer to the standing position than the sitting position, and the people behind you, they start to say, Subhanallah, what you're supposed to do? Stay standing up, go ahead, recite the Fatiha, and make complete your Salah. Okay? And after you finish your Salah, and you make your tashahud, you said what? Allahu Akbar, and you go for two sajda of sahu, and after this you make tasleem. Understood? Okay. The hadith is saying, Al-Mughira ibn Shu'ba, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying what the meaning is, when one of you doubts and stands at the end of the two raka'ah. Okay? As I said, it can be Dhuhr, or Asr, or Maghrib. If he remembers, while having stood up, he should continue and should not return to the sitting position. And he should make two prostrations. But if he did not stand up straight, he should sit down, and there is no forgiveness, that means no need for prostration. Hadith 268, وعن عمر رضي الله تعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ليس على من خلف الإمام سهو فإن سهى الإمام فعليه وعلى من خلفه رواه البزار والبيهقي بسند ضعيف. It's hadith number 268, page 125, classified in the book as well as what I have here in other books to be weak. So we go to hadith number 269, page 126. وعن ثوبان رضي الله تعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لكل سهو سجدتان بعدما يسلم رواه أبو داود وابن ماجة بسند ضعيف. This hadith has Imam in the chain by name Zuhair ibn Salim. And this made the isnad of the hadith to be weak. And the hadith can be found in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah. The hadith can be strengthened by other narrations. Okay, like the first hadith in this chapter, that for every matter of forgiveness in the Salah will be two prostrations. Hadith number 270. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال. Okay. Now, with this hadith, we finish sujood al-sahw. Prostration for forgiveness. And now he's going to start to talk about a different kind of prostration. But before we go to the other kind of prostration, I give a general information about sujood al-sahw. From this hadith that we just mentioned and others, we understood that the Prophet ﷺ, as a human being, he had forgot in the salah, and that he made it for his ummah to remind him when he makes mistakes in the salah or when he forgot. And as a result of this forgetfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the salah, we get to learn about how to correct our prayer and how we can make up for the mistake. The condition of sujood sahu is a must, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had always did it when he made a mistake in the salah. And also because he had commanded us that when we make a mistake that we prostrate for it, for the sujood sahu. Prostration for things like raka'ah is a must. Prostration for things like sunnah will be recommended. It's not a must. Okay? Like as example, somebody made dhuhr 3 raka'at instead of 4. Now he got to remember. So he will get up and bring 1 raka'ah more. And in this case, he has to what? He has to prostrate for sujood sahu. Because this was, he neglected part of the salah. Because if you make the salah 3 raka'at, is not acceptable. It has to be 4. Okay? But somebody, as example, pray Maghrib. And he didn't say it out loud. He forgot. Okay? Or he forgot to say a surah after the Fatiha. Alright? So, now we say that you should make prostration for sahu after your salah. So, for the sunnah, the prostration will be recommended for the fard and missing part of the salah, essential part of the salah, the prostration will be a must. The sujood sahu can be done even if the person moves from his spot that he makes the salah in it. Even if he goes, as long as the period is not too long. Okay? And we saw what happened that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still remaining in the masjid, but he had moved from his spot. And he went to one of the places and he was leaning against this piece of wood that was in the masjid. And also we saw that Duliyadain spoke with him. Now we go to the next hadith, which is in the same chapter, and this is hadith number 270. And this hadith is talking about the different kind of sujood. This sujood of tilawa, the sujood of prostration for recitation of the Quran. And this is not a fard, it's not obligatory. Because sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, and sometimes he didn't. Okay? So we understood from his action that this is not a must, but is recommended. This hadith number 270, page 126. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال فجدنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في إذا السماء انشقت واقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق. رواه مسلم. أبو هريرة من الله بليز وزهن narrated that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated that we, that means the Sahaba, prostrated with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he recited Surah Al-Inshiqaq. And Surah Al-Alaq, Surah number 84. Who has the book? Anybody has the book? Read the comment number 2. Comment. Tilawa. مشروع Okay, I was looking to see the number of the surah in Shikaf. I thought it's going to be written here. But anyway, no, it's not written there. But anyway, regardless if the person in Salah or out Salah, he can make this prostration. And it's only one. It's not two sajda. The judithahu is two. But the sujood for recitation of the Quran is what? Is one sajda. You can do it if you are in Salah or you're out of Salah. You can do it if you're reciting the Quran or you heard the Quran. Okay? You can do it regardless if you have wudu or you don't have a wudu. Okay? You can even do it towards the qibla or towards any other direction. Okay? And as I said, it is recommended. It's not a must. So this, Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, is telling us about some of the surahs that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made to Jews when he recited. And the hadith is authentic. Now the next hadith, you find that Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, is telling us about another prostration, which is Surah Sad. Okay? Surah number 38. And the other hadith is telling us about another surah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made prostration in it, Surah An-Najm, the star. And the next hadith, which is 273, narrated by Zayd, may Allah be pleased with him, Ibn Thabit, that he recited Surah An-Najm and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't prostrate. Okay? So now we see from his action that one time he recited Surah An-Najm, which in Hadith 272, and he prostrated. Zayd ibn Thabit, he recited to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam Surah number 53, the same surah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't prostrate. So from this we understood that it's a reward for the person to prostrate, but is not a must. Hadith number 274, page 127, وعن خالد ابن معدان رضي الله تعالى عنه قال فضلت سورة الحج بسجدتين رواه أبو داود في المراسيل This hadith which is in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Malik in Al-Muwatta and the hadith is weak. And the next hadith which is hadith 275 عن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال يا أيها الناس إنما نمر بالسجود فمن سجد فقد أصاب ومن لم يسجد فلا إثم عليه رواه البخاري ذات عمر narrated that عمر said O people we pass in our recitation verses to prostrate As so, the prostrate head, so whosoever prostrate has done the right thing, and there is no sin upon the one who doesn't prostrate. So again, as we said, it's something recommended that when you come to this verse, that you say, فَسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَعْبُدُوا that prostrate to Allah and worship Him that you will prostrate. Or the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرُ وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ That among His signs, this is Surah Fussilat, if I'm not mistaken, that is say among His signs, night and the day and the sun and the moon, don't prostrate to the sun or the moon and to prostrate to Him who has created Him if you really worship Him. And if they do not humble themselves to prostrate, indeed those who before Allah, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, they prostrate to Him and to Him they worship, that means the angels. So when you hear this verse, you will go and prostrate. So there is verses in the Quran, okay, approximately about 14 positions, okay, about 14 positions in the Quran when you hear that Allah commanding us to prostrate. And it will be good that when you come to this, that you will prostrate. سورة الأعراف سورة الرعد سورة النحل سورة الإسراء سورة مريم سورة الحج سورة الفرقان سورة النمل ألف لام ميم تنزيل سورة صاد حاميم فصلت سورة النجم الانشقاق and الأعلى 14 positions الأعراف and the thunder the bees الإسراء سبحان الذي glory be to Allah who has took his slave servant by night And كاف هيا عين صاد سورة مريم and the pilgrimage and the prostration سورة قول سورة السجدة and the القرآن the criterion النمل the end ألف لام ميم تنزيل and سورة صاد and حاميم فصلت and النجم which is the star and انشقاق the
the sleeping thunder or something like this. Okay? And,
huh?
Splitting a thunder. A thunder, a sandal, anything. Okay, a shoe, not a thunder. A thunder. Huh? And the last one, Iqra. Surah Al-A'la. Iqra bism Rabbika الذي خلق. No. Iqra bism Rabbika الذي خلق. Surah Al-A'la. خلق الإنسان على الذكر. Surah bin revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. Iqra. Okay? So this is Surah Al-A'la. Yes. So this is the 14 position or 14 places. Now I want to explain to you before I forget. If a person in Salah, okay, as example, I say, now I'm reciting after Fatiha. كَلَّا لَا تُطِعْهُ وَاسْجُدْ وَاقْتَرِبْ. So you say, Allahu Akbar, and you go straight to the floor, and you prostrate one time, you say, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى, and after this you will get up straight again, and if you are in the middle of the surah, you continue. Okay? Or if this was the end of the surah, now you have a choice between read another surah, and after this you will say Allahu Akbar and go to ruku', or that you will get up straight, and you will wait for a second, or a moment, and after this you say Allahu Akbar and you go for ruku', Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, and you continue the salah the same way like before. Anybody have a problem to understand it? Good. So, the last hadith that I mentioned, وفيه أن الله تعالى لم يفرض السجود إلا أن يشاء وهو في الموطأ. That Al-Bukhari reported it and added, this page 128, Allah the Most High has not made the prostration of recitation compulsory unless one wishes so. Okay, so again we understand that it's up to you. Hadith 276. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ علينا القرآن فإذا مر بالسجدة كبر وسجد وسجدنا معه. I'm going to take this hadith number 276. They reported by Abu Dawood through a weak chain. There is too much talk about it, so I'd rather to remain silent concerning this narration. Maybe later on, inshallah, but I think we study enough to. Hadith 277. وعن أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان. Now this is the last hadith concerning سجود التلاوة. Now the next three hadith is concerning another kind of سجود. And this is سجود الشكر. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove a hardship from you or calamity, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send something good to you as a blessing, a car, a husband, a big money, whatever, or you go overseas to study, anything that Allah bless you with it, and you were so happy with it that you should show your gratefulness and your appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing a sujood. And this also will be one prostration. And
is a hadith here which is Hassan, that the hadith that we're dealing with, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان إذا جاءه أمر يسره خر ساجدا لله. And that narrated the father of Bakra, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever received a matter which pleased him, he used to prostrate to Allah. Okay?
So this is hadith shows us another form or another kind of prostration out of the salah. And again I said, this kind of prostration doesn't need wudu. It doesn't need that you have to be to the qibla. And it's not consist of two sajda, it consists of only one sajda.
The next hadith, yes. سبحان ربي الأعلى سبحان ربي الأعلى سبحان ربي الأعلى. The same thing like any other sujood. Now if the person wants to understand utter dua or show thanks to Allah by through other phrases, is okay. The second hadith has some defect.
Weakness in the Islam.
So we are not going to deal with it, and it was sufficient to us the first hadith as well as the last hadith in the chapter, which in page 129, hadith number 279, وعن البراء بن عازب رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث عليا إلى اليمن فذكر الحديث قال فكتب علي بإسلامهم فلما قرأ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكتاب خر ساجدا شاكرا لله على ذلك رواه البيهقي وأصله في البخاري.
And this hadith shows us the reality of the blessing. What kind of blessing that we really to be happy, content with it, to such a degree that we prostrate. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent Mu'ad,
when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Ali to Yemen, and he sent a letter to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to inform him that those people had accepted Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy with this news, and immediately he prostrated as a matter of showing his gratefulness and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding of the deen, make us thankful and grateful to his blessings. And with this, inshallah, we finish our 23rd class from Bulugh al-Maram with this type of sujood, sujood al-sahu and sujood al-tilawah, and the sujood of being thankful and grateful to Allah. The next chapter will be number 9, page 129, if Allah will, inshallah, and will be concerning Salat al-Tatawwu' and the voluntarily prayer.
for this fuse, they coming, I'm not going to be in town. I will see if Brother Ghassan, inshallah, will come and take over the clock. If he did, alhamdulillah. If not, so you will have a break next week, or otherwise we can put a video tape for you for Sheikh Abdullah Hakim Kuwait, and you can watch it, inshallah. It's your choice. Regardless if we put a video tape, or Brother Ghassan gives the class, or the next week, after this week coming, the class from now on will be 7 o'clock sharp. Make sure you be here before the class 5-10 minutes. Because Maghrib now, I just noticed that Maghrib is coming earlier than a month ago or 2 months ago. So now Maghrib comes at 8:25. And we need at least an hour and a half for our class usually. So inshallah, remember, from now on, the class will be at 7 o'clock sharp. Jazakumullah khairan. And since Maghrib is already in, we're going to take only one question and a half. Yes, ma'am. No, you don't. This is not a salah. You need to have wudu for salah. Prostration of tahu is part of the salah, is a correction for the salah. You have to have wudu. But the sujood for tilawa, recitation of the Quran, and the sujood for receiving good news, does not have to have wudu. Neither it has to be that you have your full hijab. Neither it has to be facing the Qibla. And Allah knows this. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Thank you very much. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.